Begin the current daf. Start by the Zohar daf Mem Beis. Begin 12 lines daf at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues to discuss the previous daf Amud Beis. There is a machlokes regarding a case of an avodas kohen, an idol, an avodas zara shenishtaber me'aleh that broke by itself. Where we know that if a non-Jew is mevatel, he nullifies the avodas zara, then it's permitted to have benefit. If he doesn't, then it's forbidden. Avodas zara is forbidden to have anah from. What's if it breaks by itself? So Rabbi Yechon said it's forbidden. Rish Lakish said it's permitted. Rabbi Yechon said it's forbidden because no one was mevatel. It broke by itself. If the non-Jew comes and smashes it, he's mevatel, then it's mutter. If it breaks by itself, then it's still forbidden. But Rabbi Shimon Lakish said it's permitted because he says we could assume that the non-Jew nullified it. Because the non-Jew says to himself, if the Avodah Zarah can't save itself, it falls and it breaks, then how is it going to protect me? And therefore it's mevatel, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So that's their machlokes. So the Gemara brings many questions that Rabbi Yechon asked on Rish Lakish, and then later a question that Rish Lakish asked on Rabbi Yechon. So the Gemara begins, Eisvei, Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish from the Halacha of our Mishnah. Again, Rish Lakish said that if it breaks, it's going to be permitted by its, if it breaks by itself, it's going to be permitted. And then Rabbi Yechon asked from our Mishnah. Mishnah said, Matzah tavnis yad tavnis regel. Somebody finds an image of a hand, an image of a foot, Harei elu asurin, so those forms are forbidden. Why? Because things like that are served as avodah zarah. And that is Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Amai, but why? Hashfarm ninu. These are broken pieces. There was a full form, and the hand broke off, the foot broke off. Why is that going to be forbidden? Even if you'll say that that's avodah zarah, but it's broken off pieces, and if it breaks, then we said, you, Rish Lakish, said it's permitted. And that says Gemara, Hartigim Shmuel, as according to the previous daf, Shmuel already interpreted that Halacha of a Mishnah is Toma Ba'imdin al-Basisam. Not just that the hand cracked off, yeah, because then that would be shivri avodah zarah, and that would be permitted. Talking about it standing on a pedestal, on a base, and the hand itself is an image that somebody would worship, that's why it's forbidden as avodah zarah. But yes, the hand broke off from a full image of a full, let's say, person that served as a deity, that would be permitted. So the Gemara continues asking, Eisvei Rechon asks from Mishnah later on, the Nun Bezim and Bezim. The Mishnah says that Ovi Kachavim, a non-Jew, Mevatl Avodas Kachavim Shalai, could nullify his own Avodah Zarah, Vishal Chaveri, and the Avodah Zarah of his friend, whether both of them worship the same Avodah Zarah, whether they worship, do two different Avodah Zarahs. Let's say this guy worships Par, and this guy worships Markoilis. Now, the reason why a non-Jew permits Avodah Zarah by nullification, the Gemara learns that later on, Nathan Beis Naman Aleph, how do we know this, that he could nullify? But he could be mevatel avodah zarah, whether it's his own or even of his friends. In contrast to Yisrael, ein mevatel avodas kechavim shel avi kechavim. A Jew cannot nullify the avodah zarah of a non-Jew. And that is the Gemara. Rabbi Yechon asked to Rish Lakish, amai, why? Tahavuk avodas kechavim shel neshtab me'aleh. Why should it be any less than when avodah zarah breaks by itself? We said then it's going to be permitted according to Rish Lakish. So when the Jew breaks it, how is it any less? It's broken. It can't protect itself, so therefore then it should be permitted to have benefit from it. Why does it say that it's still going to be us as avodah zarah? So Abaye, he says that halacha in the Mishnah is too much shepchasa, is where the Jew went and hit it with a hammer until he smashed the image, but it didn't diminish any part of the didn't break off anything from it at all. So that's why it was mavatlet. And if it broke off, in the broken half, let's say, then yes, as Abaye, like Rish Lakish had said, then we permitted. But he just smashed it in, let's say, the nose into the thing, but nothing broke off. That's why it's not like the case of when it breaks by itself, and that's why it's still going to be us as avodah zarah. And that is the Gemara, but v'chibchasim I have, but who cares that flatten out the image, but didn't break off anything. But Vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah later on, Davnun Gimlam and Aleph, regarding an idol worshiper, Pchasa, Afa Pishloi Chasar, regarding Avodah Zarah, if he flattens out the image, even though he doesn't break off any part of it, says the Mishnah Betel, he has nullified it. So you see, that's the same thing as breaking. So why are you saying by the Jew, oh, the reason why it's not like when it breaks by itself is because he didn't break off any piece, he just flattened it out. But we see flattening out is the same thing as breaking off. Well, that says the Gemara, no, but there's a difference. Hanamili, when did we say that over there in that Mishnah that we just quoted up in the Gemara Aleph, that it's the flattening is the same as breaking? That's the Pchasa Ovid Kechavim. That's where a non-Jew flattens out the deity, the Avodah Zarah, the image, where he's revealing his intention that it's disgraceful for him and he doesn't care about it because it was his image. If it was his Avodah Zarah, he wouldn't do anything to ruin the image, and therefore that's a sign that it's being mevatlet. That's why Pchasa is the same as breaking it. But if a Jew flattens it out, then the non-Jew is not going to be mevatlet. Meaning, it's not the same as an avodah zarah that breaks by itself. Why? Because there, as we said, Rish Lakish says in the previous daf, that if the avodah zarah can't save itself, then it's not definitely not worthy of worshipping. But over here, the non-Jew thinks, yeah, that the avodah zarah itself doesn't care if its image is flattened out. It didn't break. It just got flattened out. So the fact that the Jew flattened it out, that's not something that the avodah zarah would care about, and therefore he would still serve it as an avodah zarah. But when the non-Jew himself flattens it out, he's obviously showing his disgrace for it, and then he's being mevatlet. So therefore, yes, a Jew doing it wouldn't be any less than when it breaks by itself. But the Jew's not breaking it, he's just flattening it, the avodah zarah doesn't care, and therefore the non-Jew who serves that avodah zarah would say, okay, you know what, it's still worthy of worshipping it, and therefore he's not mevatlet. In contrast, when the non-Jew himself flattens it out, he's obviously being mevatlet because he's showing disgrace to it. Or another approach for the original question, for Rav Amar, he says that la'olam ki b'chasa Yisrael na mibatla. The truth is, not like we had answered before, that even if a Jew flattens it out, that would be a full-fledged bittul of the avodah zarah. And because, yeah, flattening is the same thing as breaking. So then the question is, then why are we saying that when the non-Jew even flattens it out, let's say, or breaks it, that it's not going to be considered bittul? Why not? Why is it any less than when it breaks by itself, according to Rish Lakish? It's because Eli Gzera. There's a rabbinic decree that any time a Jew is mevatel avodah zarah, should not be a bittul. Why? Why is it any less than when it breaks by itself? Because dilma magvela, because maybe in the process of coming to break the avodah zarah, the Jew picks up the idol and he's going to smash it. When he picks it up, he acquires it with the kinyan of hagbah, picking it up. Because anything that's ownerless, for example, a found object, is acquired by picking it up. So he's going to pick it up, v'hadam aftel, and then he's going to come to be mevatlet and to nullify it. Oy, the problem is, now v'hav avod zkachav in b'yad Yisrael. Now it became the Jews' own avodah zarah. V'chal avod zkachav in b'yad Yisrael, ain't a b'tei l'olam. A Jewish-owned idol, it can never be nullified at all, as the Gemara teaches later on, the Beis Amar Av, and actually has to be buried. And because of that, they decreed that anytime the Jews come to Mevatel, although, yeah, it's not worse than when it breaks by itself, but it is, rabbinically, because we consider maybe he picked it up. He picked it up, he acquired it, it's his avodah zarah. Now, even if you break it, that's not enough to nullify it, and that's why, rabbinically, the Jew breaking it, flattening out, which all the same according to this answer of Rava, he cannot be Mevatel because maybe he picked it up, and then there's no more bittul. Esvei Rabbi Yechon continues asking in Rish Lakish from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Akum Shehivi Avonim in the Merkoilis. A non-Jew who brings bricks, rocks, from this avodah zarah called Merkoilis, where there was a certain avodah zarah that they would serve it by throwing rocks on that pile of stones, which was called Merkoilis, and whoever came to worship it would throw a stone on that pile, and that's how you served it. So, if a non-Jew came and brought rocks from that Merkoilis, and he came and he paved the road with those rocks, or theaters, or another gear says Vesartiais, which sounds more plausible, that of a highway, so then those rocks to use that road would be permitted, because obviously the non-Jew is Mavat Lavay Dezer, because he demolished the pile of that Avay Dezer and is using it as a road. But the Yisrael Shehevi Avonim in the Merkoilis, but if a Jew brings the rocks, because he sees it's muddy, no one can get through this road, so he finds this Avodah Zarah Merkoilis and he brings rocks from there, and he paves the roads with this rocks from the Avodah Zarah, Asuris, then the road is forbidden, the rocks are still forbidden, it's considered still as the Avodah Zarah of Merkoilis. And that is the Gemara Amai, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish, why? It shouldn't be any less than when the avodah zarah, this pile of stones that used to be Merkoilis, now is broken. It shouldn't be any less than when it breaks by itself. And you hold when the avodah zarah breaks by itself, it's permitted. Says the Gemara here also, it's like Rava had said that maybe when he's going to pick up the rocks to take it, to use it to pave the way, maybe he's going to pick it up a hole at one time. So he's acquiring the Merkoilis, and only then is he going to mevatlen and break it apart. That's already too late because he already acquired it and the avodah zarah of a Jew cannot be nullified. So that's why rabbinically we said, we're not going to go ahead and use that rocks of that road because it came from Merkoilis and maybe it became the Jew's avodah zarah, which cannot be nullified. So Yisrael, the Gemara continues asking you similar questions and answers. Rabbi Yechon asked to Rish Lakish from the following Braisa. A non-Jew who's shaving off parts of the idol for his own purposes, where he needs the chips to use to, let's say, make a fire. He needs some firewood. So he's chipping away from his avodah zarah, taking off pieces for his own purposes. Then says the Brayso, he v'shifuyeh mutarin. So then the avodah zarah itself and the chip that was shaved off are both permitted, because they have, obviously the non-Jew is mavatal the avodah zarah, because since he's chipping off for his own purposes, he's being mavazi, he's degrading it, and he's breaking off pieces of it. So that's considered a bit of avodah zarah. So the chips are permitted and the avodah zarah is permitted. But let's say he's shaving off pieces of the avodah zarah to beautify the avodah zarah. I mean, sometimes it gets crusty on the edges, so he's shaving it off to make the avodah zarah beautiful. So then he has surah, the image is still forbidden, it's still considered avodah zarah. V'shepigya mutar, but the pieces that were broken off are permitted, because he just throws the pieces away. They don't worship that anymore, so that's not considered part of the avodah zarah. Now, the Yisrael shashiba avodah kachavim. Now, regarding if a Jew shaves off pieces of the avodah zarah, which is owned, that avodah zarah is owned by the non-Jew, because if we're talking about the avodah zarah of a Jew, then even if a non-Jew is shaving off the pieces and the avodah zarah would still be forbidden, because as we said before, an avodah zarah owned by a Jew is not able to be nullified. So we're talking about the Jew who's shaving off pieces of a avodah zarah that's owned by a non-Jew. Then says the Brayso, bein letzarka, whether he's doing it for his own purposes, where he wants the chips for, let's say, using it for something, or whether it's being done to beautify the avodah zarah, he v'shepiyah usur. In either way, as we said, a Jew cannot nullify the avodah zarah of a non-Jew. So both the avodah zarah and the chips are still forbidden as considered part of the avodah zarah. But on that, as Rabbi Yechanan, even if a Jew cannot be mevatel, but amai tahava, but at least let this that the Jew is chipping away for his own purposes, let that be kavodes kechavim shen shapim me'alav. It's no less than the avodah zarah that broke by itself. So why are the pieces that were chipped off still forbidden? It should be permitted like when it breaks by itself. Here it's also like Rava, because we're concerned that maybe when he was coming to chip away, maybe he picked it up, then he acquired it, it became his own, and if it became his own, then no chipping, no bittle would work at all, and that's rabbinically, we consider it all forbidden. Eisvei, the Rabbi Yechid continues asking Rav Lakish from Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Daf, from next Daf, on Amud Beis, which talks about someone finds an avodah zarah made out of metal. So Rabbi Yechid, he says, Sheichik v'zari l'ruach, meaning an avodah zarah is forbidden to have benefit from it. So what do you do? You can't just leave it around because someone might have benefits. So you grind it down and you throw the pieces to the wind. Or you throw it into the sea. On that, Amr Loi, so that's a chamasid back to Yisi. What do you mean? That's also problematic. Afinas is evil. Then it also becomes fertilizer. In other words, your intention is to grind it up and throw the pieces away to make sure that it gets totally lost, that no Jew ever has benefit from it. And that's the chacham, but now also the Jew is going to have benefit from it, because the grinded down pieces will then be used as fertilizer. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says in the Devarim, that lo yidbak b'yadcha me'uma menachem. You don't have anything from this forbidden thing of the avodah zarah. So therefore they disagree that that's not the appropriate way of getting rid of that avodah zarah. But of that, as Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish amai, but why? Why is that problematic, the broken down pieces? To have a kavodah kecham shen shab me'leu, let it not be any less than when the avodah zarah breaks by itself. And we said that when it breaks by itself, it's permitted to use, you said, Rosh Lakish. It's considered batel. So then, why, if a Jew breaks it down and pulverizes it, why should that be problematic? If it's fertilized, it's bottle anyway, it should be permitted to use. Also, like we said, maybe when the Jew found it and he picked it up, he acquired it, then doing anything, no bittle is going to work. Pulverizing small pieces, everything is still forbidden. It has to be buried and hidden away. And that's why it's problematic, because of that concern of Rav. Eisvei, again, Rabbi Yechi continues asking Rosh Lakish from the following Braisa. Rabbi Yisi ben Yasir and Oime, he says, Matzah Tzur is darken. Someone finds an image of a darken, which we'll explain in Amud Beis, which is similar to the word dragon, which generally we assume that those images were used for Avodah Zarah, as the Mishnah teaches on Daf Mem Beis, on Amud Beis, where V'reishe Chatech, but they find this image of the darken, but the head of it is cut off. Now, Safek Oivik Echavim Chatech, we're not sure, was it a non-Jew who cut off the head and then, as we said, a non-Jew could be mevatel avodah zarah of a non-Jew, and therefore that's considered bittel, and then you could use this image. Safek Yisrael chatchet, but we're not sure that maybe a Jew cut off the head, and as we said, the Jew cannot be mevatel avodah zarah of a non-Jew. So in that case, says the Braisa, then mutter, then it's permitted to use that leftover piece of that darken, because we could suspend and say that it was a non-Jew who did it, because anyways it's a sveik sveika, because maybe the Jew did it, maybe the non-Jew did it, and maybe it was never worshipped at all in the first place. So maybe it was worshipped, and even if or not, and even if it was, maybe the non-Jew cut it off, so then we permit it. But says the right, Vadi Yisrael Chatchai, Aser, but if let's say for sure we know that the one who cut it off was a Jew, and the Jew cannot be Mevatlet, so then Aser, it's going to be forbidden, because then you have a Safik Deraisa of the Hana of this Avodah Zarah, which is going to be forbidden. On that, has the Gemara, my, but why? Tavik Avodah Zarah Chachav, Mishin Shab Me'elah, but why is it any worse than when the Avodah Zarah breaks by itself, which Jewish Lakish said, if it's Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, which the case is that we're assuming that's the case, it's just that the Jew broke it off, but still, it should be like that which it breaks by itself and never be permitted. Says the Gemara, Chanamik the Rava, here it's also like Rava, again, the same idea, where maybe when the Jew picked it up to break off the head, he acquired it, and then there's no bittul that's going to work. Aspir, Yechon continues asking in Rish Lakish, from Mishnah later on, the Memchez Mabez. The Mishnah there is talking about that a person is allowed to plant something beneath an Asherah tree, which is an Avodah Zarah tree. He's allowed to plant Yerukos, vegetables, in the winter months. Why? Because vegetables in the winter months, shade is harmful for it. So too, the shade of a tree is harmful for it, and therefore one is not getting any benefit from the Asherah tree by planting beneath it in the winter, but not in the summer, because in the summer, actually, the shade is good for the vegetables, and therefore that would be considered having benefit from the Asherah tree, which is prohibited. Now, that Rabbi Yasi says, no, afli yirakis b'maisik shami. He disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, no, even the herbs in the winter months is problematic to plant them beneath the Asherah tree. Why? Because the foliage, the leaves that fall off the tree in the winter months, in the fall, noishis alein, falls onto the vegetables, and then it becomes like fertilizer, and comes out the owner of the vegetables as having benefit from the Asherah tree. Therefore, he disagrees and says, you never allowed a plant beneath the tree, the Asherah tree. And that is Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish Amai, but why? Tavak Avodah Kachav Mishin Ishtab Me'aleha. It should be no less than Avodah Zarah that broke by itself. And here it's not appropriate to say the answer of having picked the Avodah Zarah, the tree, and because it's planted. So, therefore, what do you do over here? If it's breaking by itself, and you said pieces that break off of Avodah Zarah makes it permitted, so why over here are the foliage, the leaves that fall off, going to be prohibited, as Rabbi Yossi is saying? That says Rish Lakish, Shani Hasan, over there it's different because the Ikra Avodah Kachavim Kayemes. Because there, the primary Avodah Zarah is still extant. The tree is not bottled from being an Asherah, so therefore the foliage, the leaves that fall off from it, are also going to be considered forbidden. The case that Rabbi Rish Lakish spoke about was the Avodah Zarah breaks. Avodah Zarah breaks, so the broken pieces are permitted because the whole Avodah Zarah is not around anymore. Here, the Asherah tree is still here, the leaves that fall off, although that's falling off, and yet fell off by itself, which generally when something breaks with the Avodah Zarah, Rish Lakish is permitted, but here the main Avodah Zarah is still around, and therefore the leaves are going to be prohibited, like Rabbi Yasi said. Now, that the Gemara asks on Amud Beis, but Vahashi Puyin, but what's about the previous halacha that we mentioned regarding the shavings of an Avodah Zarah? The Ikar Avodah Kacham Kayemes, which the primary image, the deity, is still around. Or Kutanin, still we learned in the Braisa Litzarka, if let's say the one who's shaving off the pieces, the non-Jew is doing it for himself, which Litzarka for the purposes of the Avodah Zarah, so he said he has Surah. We said the Avodah Zarah remains prohibited. Vishipiyahu Mutarin, although he's doing it to beautify the Avodah Zarah, which the main Avodah Zarah is still extant, but we said the shavings that come off, since they're going to disgrace, they're going to discard it anyway, we said Mutarin, they're permitted. So if it's permitted, so then why are the leaves over here, which are also going to be discarded, why is that prohibited, like Rabbi Yasi is saying, which is becoming fertilizer, but it's breaking by itself, and it's something that's going to be discarded. So why is it forbidden? On that Rav Hunan B'Rei B'Shua Amar, he says, L'fisha'in Avodah Zikachav B'Teila Derchka Dilasta, because an Avodah Zarah cannot be nullified in its normal process of growth. In other words, here by the tree, the Asherah tree, it's normal, the way a tree grows, is that the leaves fall off in the fall, and it grows other leaves. And therefore, that's not considered an oifen of bittel. So therefore, the leaves are still going to be considered usher as Avodah Zarah. In contrast, the shavings of an Avodah Zarah, when he's shaving it off, that's not the normal growth of a piece of wooden graven image. When he shaves it off, his intention is to be mevatel and throw away those pieces, and that's why those pieces are going to be mutar in contrast to the leaves of the tree, which that's the normal growth. And the reason still happening over here in the normal growth. And that's why the case is different. Now that the Gemara concluded the questions of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, now Esrei of Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yechon. He asked on Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said that's still going to be usher when it breaks by itself because no one was mevatlet. And that he asked from a Mishnah Masechtas Me'ila. Mishnah says, Kain Sheberoi She'ilan Shel Hekdash. A nest that's on the top of a tree of Hekdesh, meaning someone was Makdesh, made this tree Hekdesh, and on top of that, there's a nest of birds. Says the Mishnah, Loi Nenen, it's forbidden rabbinically to have benefit from that nest, but if someone has benefit from that nest, there's no biblical halacha of me'ilah, of misappropriation to be chayav of a carbon me'ilah, as the Gemara is going to later on explain the halacha. Now, Bereshah Shel Asherah, let's say he finds a nest on the top of an Asherah tree, so there says the Mishnah, Yatiz Bekanam. What he should do is, he should take a big wooden stick and knock down the nest from the tree, and then he could take the nest and use it and have benefit from it, burn it, use it as fuel. Now, the reason why it's saying take a stick is because one is not allowed to climb on the Asherah tree to take that nest, because if so, it comes out that he's benefiting from the Asherah tree like a ladder that's benefiting from the Asherah, which is prohibited, you not have benefit from every desire. Now, says the Gemara, Kesaga Daitach, you would think to say when you learn this Mishnah, it's Kagoin Sheshabru Mimeno Eitzim V'Kintzaben. Sounds like that the nest that's on top of the tree were that the birds took pieces of that tree itself and made a nest out of those pieces of the tree. And v'kutani yatiz bakana, and still the Mishnah tells us, regarding that Asherah tree, that you take a stick and you can knock down the nest, and you could use the piece of wood of the nest to use as fuel. So says Rish Lakish, you see that an avodah zarah that broke by itself, meaning that the non-Jew himself was not mavatla, rather the birds broke off pieces of the twigs, are permitted, because you see you're allowed to use this nest, but it came from a Asherah tree. So you see that even though it broke by itself, meaning through like a bird, it's permitted. Not like Rabbi Yechon, who says still also. Says the Gemara, no hacham eiskin. What are we talking about? Kugin the icy eats in ma'alma v'kinsaben. Talking about that the birds took wood from other places and then made a nest on top of the Asherah tree, but it's not wood from the Asherah tree. Yeah, if it came from the Asherah tree, it'd still be forbidden. Says the Gemara, dekenami. The Mishnah's reading is precise like this, indicating that it's actually from a different tree. Because the Ketan Negabe Hekdesh, because the other case there in the Mishnah that we quoted is regarding Hekdesh, a nest on top of a Hekdesh tree. So the Mishnah said, Loi Nenen, Loi Mayalan, is rabbinically forbidden to have benefit from that nest, but there's not going to be me'ilah if someone does. Now, Iyamid Bishleimid, the Icy Isim Alma, if you say, like we're answering for B'yechanon, that because the wood came from somewhere else, not from this tree itself, Sahindig Tanigabah Hekdesh, so that's why we would understand that it says regarding Hekdesh, Loi Nenen, Loi Mayalan, you're not allowed to have Hana, but there is no me'ilah, meaning, Loi Nenen, Midrabanan. You're not going to have benefit from the nest rabbinically because maybe you're going to come to have benefit from the wood of the tree itself, which it itself is Hekdesh. In contrast, by the Asherah, there was no such concern because on the Avodah Zarah, people stay very far away. But regarding something of Hekdesh, which is not so repulsive, maybe one might have benefit from the tree, so therefore one rabbinically cannot have benefit from the nest itself. Now, but v'loy moylem d'araisa, but there's no biblical halacha of me'ilah if one does have benefit from the nest, because d'olei kedisha, because it's not holy, it's not from this tree itself, it's from some other tree. Eliyamrit sheshavar eitzim imen v'kinsben, but if you would say, as the Gemara was assuming when it was asking to be Yechanan, that the nest itself was made out of the broken piece of this tree itself, so now my'loy moylem, then why is there no me'ilah? Hakadishi, what do you mean it's holy? It's taken from Hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't become bottle when you break it apart, and therefore there should be me'ilah. Obviously, it's like we said for Rabbi Yechanan, because it's from a different tree. That's what the Gemara, no, it's no raya. Me the iria? In other words, if this was your whole proof to like Rabbi Yechanan, no, the truth is we could tell you that the nest was actually made from the wood of the Hekdesh tree itself. Now, so why is there no me'ilah? Because hacha begidulin, here we're talking about the growths of the tree, haboin la'acha mekanaskin, and that came afterwards, meaning these branches that were used to make, these twigs that were used to make the nest of the bird, were branches that grew on the tree after it was sanctified as Hekdesh. And it wasn't on the tree when the person made it Hekdesh. And for kesavar, and the tana of this Mishnah holds, ein me'ila begidulin. There's no halacha misappropriation on growths of the Hekdesh that came after that. But rabbinically, it's forbidden because ultimately it's part of a Hekdesh tree. Now, regards to an Asherah tree, also we could say that the branches of the nest were made from the Asherah tree itself, and still it says that you could knock down the nest and use it, and therefore that actually we could say that's like Rish Lakish, who says because when it breaks by itself, it's actually been permitted. So again, there's no Raya Tribyechim because we could answer it and say it is talking about the tree itself. And what's with Hekdesh? It's because it's Gedul Habol Achamakan, which biblically is not prohibited. Or another approach, Rebavo Am Rabbi Yechanan, he says name Rabbi Yechanan, which is going back to answer the original question Rabbi Shlokesh asked on him, with a different approach. He says, truthfully, you don't have to give a contrived answer to say that the nest is from wood of a different tree. No. You could even say that it's from the tree of Asher itself. And even so, you cannot learn out from it, like Rish Lakish was asking Rabbi Yechanan, to show, oh, and you still see you can use the nest. Obviously, it's because a tree that breaks by itself, and an Avodah Zarah that breaks by itself, is permitted, and that says, Bavon, no. You could say that when it says that you could knock down with a stick and get the nest and use it, and it's permitted to have benefit, it's not going on the nest. My yatis, what does it mean that you could throw it down? Yatis be'efreichim. It's going on the chicks of the birds, not on the wood of the nest itself. And that was necessary to teach us to say that we do not make a decree to say that you're not allowed to knock down with a stick, that because maybe you might go and climb up the tree itself. And that was saying that no, I mean, the chicks is nothing prohibited at all. It's nothing to do with anything of a sheru or of hektish, but that's the chiddush. In saying that, we would think that maybe you couldn't even use a stick to knock it down because you might come to climb it up. And that's what we're saying, that's permitted. So therefore, according to Bavo's approach, what comes out is that actually the two halachas of hektish and asherah apply both by each other. Meaning, the reisha, when it was talking about hektish, was talking about regarding the wood of the nest itself. And that, like we said, is the tana of the Mishnah holds, there's no me'ila begidulin. There's no problem about the branches, although it came from the tree itself. Again, we're saying you don't have to say the deichig teretz that came from a different tree. It came from this tree itself. But since the growth came after it was hektish, it's permitted. And the Mishnah said it regarding the halachas of hektish, which it's saying, but it's still rabbinically prohibited because you might come to have benefit from the tree itself. And for sure, in the case of Asherah, where the halacha is that biblically, that it's prohibited even additions that come after the primary thing itself, as the Mishnah teaches later on, the Mem Chesem and Aleph, someone, let's say, breaks off pieces of the Avodah Zarah, of the Asherah tree, and then it regrows, and he's breaking it off with the intention of whatever new growths are, they're going to be worshipped as Avodah Zarah, you have to take off those growths. Those are forbidden, but the rest is going to be permitted. So, for sure, if we're saying that rabbinically it's a problem by hektish, for sure it's going to be a problem initially by Avodah Zarah. So then Rashi says, and why didn't we say both cases together? If essentially there's two different halachas that the Mishnah is talking about regarding the Asherah and the Hekdash, and both halachas apply to both, is because you wouldn't be able to say, however, V'loy Mayalin, which is the other half of the halacha, by Asherah, because there's no halacha Me'ila that applies to Asherah. But the primary halacha of saying that one is initially not allowed to have benefit from the branches of the nest, which it applies by Hekdash, because you might come to have enough from the tree itself, for sure it's going to apply by Asherah, which is the growths that came even afterwards are problematic, even though there's it came afterwards, but that's also going to be prohibited. And so to the end of the Mishnah, which was talking about by the case of the Asherah, that says Rebbe Vo, that's talking about by Efreichin, by the chicks. And it was talking about by the Asherah, but the same thing would apply by Hekdash, that the chicks would be permitted. And as we said, that there's no halacha of me'ilu b'gidul, there's no problem about growths that come by a hektish tree. That's something that's permitted, and therefore the chicks are also permitted. Now, that the Gemara qualifies that only Rabbi Yaakov le'Rabimir b'atachlifa, he says, Azmer lach, he says, I'll explain to you the Mishnah that we just quoted according to Rabbi Yechanan. Be'efreichin, by chicks, so kan v'kan, both by hektish and by asherah. Like we said, both halachas of that Mishnah apply to both hektish and asherah. By hektish, it just happened to be speaking about the nest, and by asherah, it was speaking about the chicks. But both halachas apply to both. So now we're talking about the second half, which regarding the chicks. So he says, by the chicks, so both by hektish and by the asherah, mutar, the chicks are permitted because they don't have any utility for the tree. They could just fly away, so they have nothing to do with the tree, and therefore there's no problem about having benefit from those chicks. But beitzim, however, regarding the eggs, if they're just eggs, kan v'kan asur, and then actually by both hektish tree and asherah tree, those eggs are prohibited because those eggs need the tree. It's being maintained because it's on top of the tree. And the Rabbanim made a decree that it's like as if it's on the tree itself, and therefore it's prohibited to have benefit from those eggs. And on Rav Ashi, says, v'freichin shetzichin le'iman, and regarding chicks that still need its mother, then kibetzim domen, then they're still qualified like eggs, and therefore they're going to be forbidden rabbinically to have benefit from those eggs. When we were saying that it's permitted on top of that asherah tree, that was talking about chicks that don't need the mother and they can fly away, they have nothing to do with that. That's where you just knock it off and you could have the chicks, not the nest, because like we said, the nest is actually going to be rabbinically at least prohibited, like we said by the case of hektish, so too the growths that even come afterwards, but those twigs from the asherah tree itself are going to be forbidden. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Mishnayos of this parak, regarding when we find graven images, what's the halacha? So, hamoitzi kelim. Someone finds vessels, bowls, cups. Now, valeim, but on it, it has tzuras chama. It has an image of the constellation of the sun. Or so too, Tzuris Levana has the image of the constellation of the mazel of the moon. Tzuris Darka in the image of this mazel of this image of Darkan of this dragon. So Yelichim Liyam HaMelech. So you have to take that vessel that you find and throw it into the Dead Sea, which this is like the Rabbanan who recorded in Mishnah Daf Mem Amud Beis, that because all other images they say are permitted. So the Gemara is going to explain why specifically these three images are considered, and we assume that they're like Avodah Zarah, that you can't use these bowls, they were worshipped as Avodah Zarah, and you got to throw them away. Now, Rav Shimon Gamlielam, he says, well, it depends. He says, Sha'ala mechubadin, if you find these images on distinguished vessels, which are considered utilities of dignity, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is, so then that's through it. So then those vessels are forbidden. But if they're on disgraceful, lowly type of vessels, which are not used for tashmish of covet, so then they're going to be permitted to use. Now, the Gemara asks, "Lememra de lahanihu de palchelu." Is that to say that only these three of chama, levana, and darken are things which are worshipped, and that's why when we find it, we assume that it's avodah zarah, and therefore you got to throw it away. But all other images are not worshipped, and therefore they would be permitted to be maintained when you find it. But very many, but that seems to be contradicted from the following braisa. The braisa says, "Hasheichet l'shum." The Bach adds some words over here, as is obvious from Rashi's girsa. If someone slaughters something for the purposes of harem to the master that's appointed over mountains, or l'shum gevayis to the angel master that's over hills, l'shum yamim to the master over the seas, l'shum naharis over that of rivers, l'shum mudberis to the master over the desert, l'shum chama, l'shum levana to the master over the sun or over the moon, l'shum kechav mamazalis to the master over the and we mean that specific which was given over its domination, its dominion over the stars and the constellations, l'shum michol saragol, if he worships for the malach michol, which the great master, or the shum shul shukatan, or even for that over a small worm. When someone slaughters an animal for the purposes of worshipping any one of these things, they're considered worship, a sacrifice of the dead, meaning of avodah zarah. So ask the Gemara, obviously you see that it's normal to worship all these other things we just mentioned. And therefore, we should also assume, and if you find any images of those on any bowls too, that we should also say they're forbidden because maybe they were worshipped. Why only chama, levan, and darken? So on that, Amabai, he explains. He says, Miflach, regarding worship, you're right. L'chol demishkechi palchi. Whatever the non-Jews find, they'll worship. And they'll worship a worm. They'll worship whatever they find. Now, however, out of doubt, the Rabbanan are not going to make a decree that any image, that anything, is going to be forbidden. Because if so, we're not going to have anything to use in this world. Because anything a non-Jew finds, he would worship. But meitzer miflachi, but to create something like a bowl, like a vessel that we're talking about in our Mishnah, and to worship it, it's only these three things that are distinguished. That they'll grave an image of it and worship it. Meaning they'll make something, an image of like a bowl, so with the purposes of worshiping it. If they make any other image, they're only making it for beauty. It's a beautiful image to make in the bowl, but it's not for the purposes of worshiping, and therefore it's only these three things that if you find such a keli, that it's forbidden. Now on this theme, the Gemara continues and says, "Menakit Rav Sheshes Chumri Masniyasa V'Tani." Rav Sheshes found and put together all the difficult Mishnayos and Brises, and he taught them, meaning he gathered them because he wanted to resolve them, so he would say it over in the study hall, so that people should think about it and have good answers for it. And one of the Brises he said over was the following one: "Kala Mazalis Mutarim." All Mazalis, all constellations, all astrological types of things are permitted. Which the Gemara later on is going to explain what does it mean it's permitted. Chutz mi mazel chama levanas. If you find something, if you have something that has this image of this, of any mazel, is permitted, except for the mazel of the sun and the moon. Continues the Braisa. V'chala partzuf mutar. And all images, faces are permitted. Chutz mi partzuf adam, except for the face of man. And the sefer, the third halacha of the Braisa is, and the reason why Rav Sheshes is saying over, because it seems to be a difficult Braisa, as we'll explain in a moment. And all forms are permitted. Now, for example, like fish is not called a part of a face, rather it's called a tzura, a form. So all forms are permitted, chutz mitzuras darken, except for the form of this darken, which is like a type of an aquatic creature, which is similar to a snake, something like what would be imagined like a dragon. Now, on that the Gemara explains. Amamar. So the Tanya of the Braisa said, starting off, kala mazalis mutar. all images of any constellations are permitted, chutz mimazal chama levon, except for the mazal of the sun and the moon. Well, that has to gemar. What are we talking about over here? If we're saying regarding the permissibility or prohibition of making that image, if we're talking about making, and when it says that it's permitted, it means permitted to actually make that form, is it permitted to make the form of any mazel, any constellation? But if the pasuk says in Shemais, Hashem says, Lisasun iti, do not make with me, meaning do not make any form that stands with me. What does that mean? Lisasun kidmus don't make any image that stands and worships and serves in front of me up in the highs, which refers to the mazalis, we're not allowed to make any of those images. So all mazalis are forbidden to be made. Lepshit b'maitzi rather says the Gemara, obviously, that opening halacha, the b'raisa was too much. If one finds in the image, so that's permitted to have benefit from it because we're not assuming that it's an avodah zarah, except for chama levana, like we said in our Mishnah, that we assume that it was worshipped as avodah zarah. To make, no Jew's allowed to make. But if it's found, it's not necessarily worshipped as avodah zarah, except if it's chama levana. As the Gemara quotes, like we learned in our Mishnah, Hamaitzi came, if someone finds vessels, Valeim, Tzuris Chamet, Tzuris Levana, Tzuris Dark, and if someone finds in it an image of either the mazel of the sun, or the Levana, or that of the dragon, then you leichem liyam melch. Then you have to throw in the yam melch, but any other image, any other mazel, is going to be permitted if one finds it. Fine. The problem is, Ibn Maitzi, if he's saying the halachas of the Braisa, talking about regarding if one finds these images, Eimim Mitzias, let's go to the middle case of the Braisa. It says, Kolapert Sufun, all faces are permitted. If one has such an image of a face, it's permitted. Except for the face of a person. On that, as the Gemara, now, Ibn Maitzi, if you're saying that Lachas of the Braisa is talking about finding, parts of Adam Mi'asr, if one finds an image of a face, that is forbidden to have benefit from it. But what's not learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, Amitzi Kalim, someone finds vessels. It says, Valeim Tzuris Chama, Tzuris Levana, Tzuris Dark. And it says, only if you find one of these three images, that of the sun, the moon, or of the dragon, then Yilichim Liyam HaMelech, then you have to throw it to the Dead Sea. Which sounds like Tzuris Darken in. The image of the dragon is forbidden. Parts of Adam Loi, but the face of a person, one finds it, it's not forbidden. Elab Shita Ba'isa, rather says the Gemara must be, you have to explain the middle case, as talking about regarding making. We're making any face, for example, that of a wild animal or of an animal, is permitted to make. Now, although the Gemara tells us later on that an ox and a lion and an eagle, which are those who serve Hashem up on high, it's not the same because there it's only all four images together of like the Kisei HaKavod where though that's forbidden to make. But to make one face, even that of an eagle or an ox and a lion, that's not prohibited. Except for making the face of a person, that the Gemara is going to explain later on, that is forbidden to make. That's like where it says, Leisasun oisi, don't make that of me, which a person is never b'tzelem alekim, that would be forbidden. So it must be the one face, that of a person, which is forbidden, must be talking about making. Now, on that, as the Gemara says, Ukadrafun Bredi Rishua, where he says later on in the Sugi, like we said, Leisasun oisi means kidmusi, like my image. However, that continues the Gemara. Iba Aisa, if you're saying, well, then the Braisa are my cases of making, then Ema Seifa, look at the third case of the Braisa. It says, Kalaturis Mutaris. All images, all forms are permitted. Chus Mutaris Darken, except for the image of this dark coin. Now, Viba Aisa, and if it's talking about like the middle case regarding the prohibition of making, Tsuris Darken Miasa, is it forbidden to make a Tsura of a Darken? But Viksiv, the Pasuk says, Leisasan Iti Elehi Chesiv Elehi Zav. Hashem says, don't make with me these gods of silver and of gold, meaning avodah zarah, which, as we continue on top of Megillah and Aleph, sounds like Hani in. Only these things, meaning like which the pasuk is talking about, those things that serve Hashem up of high, like mazalus and grechavim, that's forbidden. But tzuris darken, but to make the image of the darken, which is not bamarim up high, that like that's not problematic to make. Elab shita b'maitzi. Rather, obviously, he's talking about that when is the tzuris darken the one that's going to be asif? That's when you find it. Okay, that's not like we learned in our Mishnah. Mishnah said, "Amitzi came if someone finds vessels, valeim tzuris chama, and on that you find the image of the sun or the moon of the dark coin, then that's going to be forbidden." So that has the Gemara, and this is why Rav Sheshet was saying over this price, because it's difficult. Reisha v'seifa b'maitz, like we just proved, the reisha and the seifa is talking about when are those things prohibited of the chama and the levana and of the dark coin, which those are the three cases we mentioned in Mishnah. When you find them, umitziyasa, but the middle case, that of the parts of adam being forbidden, that's ba'isa. That's when you make it. So it's Maitze, Aisa, Maitze? And that my Abai, he says, in yes. Reisha b'seifa b'maitze. The Reisha and the Seifa is the first and the third case tomorrow when you find it. When it's the Aisa in the middle case tomorrow when you make it. Right? Rav Amar, he says, no. Kula b'maitzim. We could say that the Brais is talking about all the same type of a case. When you find it, then the difficulty was the middle case. What's the problem when you find the face of a person? Didn't we say in our Mishnah it's only the Chama Levana and the Darkan and not that of a person? And that says, Rav, Umitziyas Rabbi Yehudahi. And that middle case of the Brais is going like Rabbi Yehuda. The time like we learned the Brais, Rabbi Yehuda Maisif, he adds on other images that when we find it, we could also assume that it's Avodah Zarah. And there it has the image, the face of a person, which we do assume that it is Avodah Zarah. Which is Avdimus Minika, also the image of a nursing woman who's nursing her son, and the Sar Apis and the Avodah Zarah Sar Apis. As the Gemara explains, Minika, the nursing woman, why is that we consider that and assume that it's Avodah Zarah? Al Shem Chava, because it's portraying Chava, Sheminika Kalayim Kulay, who nursed the entire world, and they're worshipping that as an Avodah Zarah. And Sar Apis, that's Al Shem Yosef, that's going on Yosef. Shesar, because he became a sar with a sin, like a minister, he became the second command. Umapis is kalim kule, and he appeased the whole entire world in the years of hunger in Mitzrayim. So we see that according to Behuda, even the parts of the face of a person is also going to be yasir. Now, however, the Gemara just qualifies this halacha, but regarding this of sar apis, of yasir, is Behuda nakid grieve. It's only, however, if that image that of a person's face is holding a measure of produce, the kukail, and he's weighing and he's measuring, which that would be going and portraying Yosef, but a regular face of a person, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that would be permitted for benefit, because it's only Sar Apis, which is portraying Yosef, that type of a face. And Vihi, in regards to the nursing woman, is Dinakta Ben Vekomanika, then it's only problematic if she's holding a son and she's nursing, but we see that even if one finds the face of a person, could also be forbidden, because it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, and that resolves this difficult braisa where Abaye said, yeah, Reisha v'seifa b'maitza and mitziasa b'aisa, but then Rebbe says, no, you can even say that otoma b'maitza, and it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even by the face of a person, more than just the three cases that our Mishnah mentioned, if you find such a image, such a form, such a face, would also be prohibited, because we would assume that it's avodah zarah.